भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 41. Krishna and Balaram enter Mathura. Next, number 26.
Asnanchaikas tadapasya sosavam.
Abhyajyamana akritopamanchana. Abhyajyamana akritopamanchana. Swapancha uttaya nishamya nishvanam. Svapancha uttaya nishamya nishvanam. Prapaya yantyo bhamabhoya matara. Prapaya yantyo bhamabhoya matara. Asnancha ekastadapasya sosava. Abhyajamana akritopamajana. Svapancha uttaya nishamya nishvanam. Prapaya yantyo bhamapoya mataraha. Ekaha sam. Tat. That tapasya, abandoning, sa utsava, joyfully, abhyajamana, being massage, akrita, not finishing, upamajana, the abating, svapancha, sleeping, utaya, getting up. Nishamya, having heard. Nishvanam, the loud sounds. Prapaya jantya, giving milk. Abham, to an infant. Apoya, put aside. Matara, mothers. Translation. Those who were taking their meals abandoned them. Others went out without finishing their bath or massages. Women who were sleeping at once rose when they heard the commotion. And mothers breastfeeding their infants simply put them aside. Om Gyanati Mandasya Gananjana Slapya Shaksamalitam Yanatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnupalaya Krishna Prasadpalaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namne Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Namaste Sasanyavani Pasichade Shatarine Prabhu Bhagavatam no chanting. This series, a few verses, is very similar to the earlier on when Krishna wanted to perform his rasa dance, and when he played on his flute, the gopis were also in a similar mood. Whatever they were doing, they just drop it. As we were reading early on, they were so eager. When they heard that Krishna is coming, they were so eager to go and see him. Some of them were putting on the clothing wrong. The decoration, someone with one earring and the other without earring. And all. Sometimes maybe for the men may be difficult. Maybe some not. For the women, when they're decorating themselves, it's something very important. They spend a lot of time there, decorating themselves, putting on the eyelashes and all this. The husband will know sometimes when they're about to go out, And they have to wait for the wife to get ready, drive them out up the wall sometimes. Everything has to be right. So, but these ladies, when they hear that Krishna is coming, and they're so eager, they just, you know, they forgot all these things. Where anchor bells were here, and anchor bells here, and earrings there, and oh, they're completely like bewildered, out of their eagerness to see Krishna. And they abandon the meals. They say that actually, according to Ayurveda, when one is eating, you should not be interrupted. You should sit down peacefully, eat. Sometimes people, they eat and then the telephone is ringing. They get up and answer the telephone. She say, please call back. Even in Chinese, they're saying that Yamaraj may speed up your death, but you will not speed up your eating. Remember, there was one devotee, and we were in the painting party, selling paintings in Norway. I told this to this devotee. So when he was ringing on the door, and people were eating, he said, "Oh no! Please continue meeting. I'll come back later." Because my friend, I have a Chinese friend, he said, "Oh, what? No, death may be knocking on your door, but should not the eating should not be interrupted." So those people were pretty pleased by that, and later they bought a few paintings. So it should be in a but. Here, they just abandon them. I mean, for many of us, when it comes to eating, this is like the most important thing in the world. Eating, especially, you know. You look forward to it, especially when it's a good meal, a good feast, and enjoying a meal without any interruption. But they just drop it. Half baked, when they're bathing and half finished, and when they're half finished, oil here, oil there, maybe some soap, half massage. Everyone get massage. You just wish the massage will go on forever, isn't it? Unless you are doing some deep tissue or shiatsu massage. They know where to press on the nerve. You just that one you wish to finish as fast as possible. But otherwise, it's so comfortable. You just wish. And after 1 hour, when they finish, you say, "That's all." Is that 1 hour? You don't want to, so nice. But they just drop it. Half in a massage, they just left. And when they're sleeping, they hear the commotion and they just rose. They just rise up. And here, this is the best one. And mothers breastfeeding their infants, simply put them aside. You ever seen the mother carrying the baby? Yeah, especially a small baby. It was like, my bundle of joy. Even the father sometimes. My bundle of joy. Need to be protected. It's like such a feeling carrying the baby in the arms. And breastfeeding the connection between the mother and the baby when they breastfeeding. And they just dropped the baby and left. It's amazing. When I read this, it's just really amazing how the gopis and also the inhabitants of Mathura in a similar mood, out of eagerness to go and see Krishna, in their haste they just so we may have so many duties which are important duties to perform. I mean, we have to take care of ourselves, we have to dress up properly. You should not be going around with tilak this way or that way, you know. You put on tilak nicely, dress nicely, not the button like that. Sometimes, nowadays I don't know if it's still going on. Probably not. Yeah, actually, sometimes you see that, especially the new devotees, new bhaktas. They are so transcendental. They do not take care of the body. They do not take care of how they dress. They go around in shabby clothing. You know, no. You should dress ourselves properly. Maybe not opulently, but dress properly, presentable. But sometimes in the case of here, where it's eagerness to see Krishna, what are the duties? You have the material duties and you have the spiritual duties. So both duties has to be performed, but the spiritual duties are more important. Because material duties are temporary, whereas the spiritual duties are permanent. So these duties is not in also in the form of taking care of the body, maintaining the body, so that the body is as healthy as it can be. As we were saying early on, when I think it was Sanatan Goswami or Rupa Goswami developed some rashes on his body, and every day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come and so see him and embrace him, and he felt so bad about it. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come and embrace him, and he has all these rashes, so he was so like upset. He wanted to throw himself in front of the Ratha Yatra, in front of the Rath of Jagannath. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu admonished him. He said, "You have surrendered your life to me. You have given this body to me. It is not yours to take. You cannot decide what you want to do with it. That you can just give up your life." In I think yesterday or today's Prabhupada meditation, Prabhupada was writing in a letter to someone. He said, "You have given your life to Krishna. And that is your perfection." Our perfection is that we give our life to Krishna. And he went on to explain what is perfection. That it's just like an ocean. We are swimming in the ocean, and there's no end to it. You can swim and swim and swim for a long, long, long time, and still you will not reach the shore. So similarly, perfection in Krishna consciousness is like that. There's no end to that perfection. You just get better and better and better. So there are duties to our body, there's duties to family, duties to others. We have our swadharma, occupational duties also. But all these duties is meant ultimately for service to Krishna. So we have to understand what is underlying. Just like when you ask people, especially Indians, they say, "Yes, I have Bhagavad Gita, I read Bhagavad Gita." And you ask them, "So what is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita?" "Perform your duty. Take care of family. Do your work." That's what they understand. But they do not understand the essence of it. That yes, perform your duty, but for the satisfaction of who? For Krishna. You perform sacrifice, yes. A sacrifice for the satisfaction of Vishnu. Yakyata kamano yatra lokayam kama bandana tadatam kama kautiya mukta sangha samachara. Yes, you have to perform yagya, sacrifice. But who is that sacrifice meant for? Even when you perform sacrifice to please the demigods, but what is the aim of it? Sense gratification. So ultimately, we're performing sacrifices not for anyone, it's for our own purpose, to please our senses, to have a more comfortable position in the material world. So one has to understand, yes, we do so many things, we perform so many duties, but we have to know what is the purpose of it all. If you do not know the purpose of it, then Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam, all these endeavors are useless labor. You can have a perfect body, you can take care of your family very, very nicely, supplying all their needs. You can perform your occupational duties perfectly. But if ultimately it's not meant for the pleasure of Krishna, then it's a waste of time, waste of labor. And then we say that, the other side is that, if we understand that everything is meant for the pleasure of Krishna, then one is able to just give it up, just like that. You can just give it up. And this is what the inhabitants, the ladies of Mathura were able to do. They were performing the duties, taking care of so many household affairs, but when it's time to see Krishna, they just forget everything. Everything else is secondary. Read on the next one. Manam sita samara vindalochana pragaubalila hasita valokai jaharamatta dviradindra vikramo dvisam dadat sri ramanat manosavam The lotus-eyed lord, smiling as he recalled his bold pastimes, captivated those ladies' minds with his glances. He walked with the gait of a lordly elephant in rut, creating a festival for the eyes with his transcendental body, which is a source of pleasure for the divine goddess of fortune. You ever notice when you read Bhagavatam? It's so poetic. It's a song. The Sanskrit sloka sang like a song. And see how poetic it is. The way it's written. Captivated those ladies' minds with his glances. He walked with the gait of a lordly elephant in rut, creating a festival for the eyes. His transcendental body. How poetic it is. And how attractive Krishna is, especially when he smiles. When Krishna smiles, the whole world becomes enchanted by the smile. He captivates the eyes with his transcendental body. Krishna, that's what Krishna means. Krishna means all attractive. There's no one more beautiful than he. Some religion, they explain, yes, God is the creator, he's the oldest, therefore he must be an old man. He's sitting on the throne, looking down, passing judgment on everyone. Oh, he did something good, okay, record it down. Oh, he did something bad. But we never find a picture of Krishna as an old man. We see in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna was driving the chariot of Arjuna, he was a grandpa. He was a grandpa at that stage. My grandfather, he was 120 plus years, but he still looked like so youthful. Looked like a youth, Navayavana. This is the eternal form of Krishna, Navayavana, youth, and always beautiful. There's no one more beautiful than he is. When you say Bhagavan, Parashuram Muni explained the word Bhagavan. Bhaga, one. Bhaga means opulence, one means possessor, one who possesses unlimited opulences. So he explained this specifically the six opulences, and one of them is beauty, unsurpassed beauty. And he has unlimited strength, unlimited wealth, knowledge, renunciation, and fame. These are six, and he. And Krishna possessed these qualities in unlimited amount. Unlimited beauty. There's no one more beautiful than he is. Imagine, after all, he's the creator of everything. He's the source of everything. Source of all beauty. So if you are the source of all beauty, why would you look anything less than beautiful? Isn't it the source must be more than the creation? So he's the most beautiful. And he's the wealthiest. Krishna is not. Sometimes they use this phrase, Daridra Narayan. Where is the question of Narayan being Daridra? Lakshmi is his maid servant. How can he be a Daridra? How can he be poor? It's a ridiculous statement.
It means he's a god.
God of Daridra. Yeah. Of course, in the Venkat Balaji, there's a history of the Balaji deity. They became poor, he has to borrow from Kuvera, but that's his lila. So Krishna is never poor. In fact, he said, Bhoktaram Yakyatapasam Sava Loka Maheshwaram. He said, I'm the Mahesh of all, Sava Loka. Of all the planets, I'm the Mahesh. I'm the proprietor of everything. And how can he be poor? Prabhupada, he said, Krishna said, I'm the Savloka Maheshwara. He claimed, I am the proprietor of everything. Nobody in history, has ever made such a claim. Someone, now they claim Bill Gates is the richest man in the world. He has what, something like over $40 billion worth his asset. You know how much that is? 40 billion. Even 1 billion is a lot. You can get buried in coins of 1 billion or even in notes, $100 notes, you can bury you with that. And but that wealth,
it's 1/20th of every place, every work that everyone in Australia does in 1 year.
It's what?
1/20th of everything that everyone does in Australia in 1 year.
What they earn in 1 year.
Yeah.
That's what, how 1 billion.
1/20th.
Yeah. So then Krishna, and this one Bill Gates just one tiny little. But he never claimed I possess all wealth. He may be the richest in the world, but he would never dare to claim that I am the possessor of all wealth. But Krishna, he dare make such a claim. He says, Avalokiteshvaram, I am the proprietor of everything. Everything belongs to me. So that's the only one in history who has made such a claim. Because after all, he is the richest, the strongest. So when he walked with the gait of a lordly elephant in Raj. He's ever seen an elephant when they walk? It's like everything in his path is just everything. Everyone has to move when they walk, especially the king of the elephant, followed by so many elephants. The gait when they walk, like no fear whatsoever. And it's the source of pleasure for the divine goddess of fortune. That's what Rama, the source of all pleasure. We are all looking for pleasure. We have to know where is the source of all that pleasure. Krishna is the source of all pleasure. So when one comes into contact with the source of all pleasure, naturally he also derives great pleasure. We read one more. This Vamuhu Srutamanu Drutta Chitta Sastam Tapreshano Smita Sudoshana Labdamanaha Anandamutim upaguya drisatma labdam risyatvatko jahu anantam rindamadim. The ladies of Mathura had repeatedly heard about Krishna, and thus, as soon as they saw him, their hearts melted. They felt honored that he was sprinkling upon them the nectar of his glances and broad smiles. Taking him into their hearts through their eyes, they embraced him, the embodiment of all ecstasy. And as their bodily hair stood on end, O subduer of enemies, they forgot the unlimited distress caused by his absence. So beautiful, the way it's described. So the ladies of Mathura, they have repeatedly heard about Krishna. Someone may say, wow, how did they know about Krishna? That they have developed such attraction and attachment for him. Well, because you have heard. They have heard repeatedly about Krishna and his activities and his beauty and his characteristic. It's just like Rukmini. Rukmini, he has heard from Narada Muni the glories of Krishna, and he developed in her heart that I will only marry Krishna. I will not marry anyone. So when his brother Rukmi made an arrangement for her to be married to Shishupal, he quickly arranged for a Brahma to send a message to Krishna that I only want to marry you, so you please come and kidnap me. That's a Kshatriyas. Come and kidnap me. So just by hearing, actually everything begins by hearing. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Everything begins by hearing. How do we know about Krishna consciousness? How do we know about Krishna? By hearing. We heard, and then gradually we develop an attraction in our heart that, wow, this is sounds good, sounds far out. Otherwise, what do we know about Krishna? We don't know anything about Krishna. Maybe we grew up in, so for those foreigners who are not Indian, they think, oh, it's just another Hindu god. There are so many descriptions. They proclaim Krishna to be so many things. Or he's just a prince. Or he's a devotee. He has so many girlfriends. Watch out for him. What do we know? But by hearing from the pure devotees, we get to understand who Krishna is. And not only that, we develop an attraction. And that attraction means to hear more. And then as we want to hear more, we want to speak about Him. We want to serve Him. That's the natural. By the more we hear, we develop an attraction to want to do something. You cannot just hear about that great personality and not want to be with that personality. So the more we hear about Krishna, the more we want to be with Him, the more we want to have His association, and the more we want to do something. When you hear about someone who is very wonderful and someone that is very great, you just want to meet that person, isn't it? You just want to meet. It's just like when you are promoting. Now we are promoting the retreat of Damarita Maharaj. How do we promote? To people who do not know what He is. We just speak about Him. And we speak about how wonderful, how He is. People say, I want to meet this person. Just how people, they say, they heard about Prabhupada, I want to meet Prabhupada. I heard this about this great personality, I want to meet him. And I want to see who this person is. I want to hear from him. So the more we hear about Krishna, the more we want to, this great personality, this great Bhagavata, I want. Just like we heard about Vrindavan. Who has not been to Vrindavan? Isn't that a great desire in your heart to go there? You hear so much about Vrindavan, the beauty of Vrindavan. Isn't that we develop this desire, strong desire in our heart, I want to go there. I want to go to this place where Krishna performs his pastimes. Of course, when you go there, you may not see it exactly the way it's described in the Bhagavatam. We do not have the eyes to see, because Vrindavan is covered by a layer. What do you call it? Parapta? It's a layer there. So you have to have the transcendental eyes to see. Otherwise, you see the dirt, the mud, the pigs, the rickshaw drivers trying to rip us off, the shopkeepers trying to rip us off. You get disturbed by all these things. But the point is, we develop a desire, we want to go there. We heard about Mayapur, when devotees go on the parikrama, they stay out in different islands, and each island where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performs his different pastimes, and how so many other different holy places, different parts of India, all residing in Navadvip, in the land of Navadvip. And we want to go there. We want to take part in this parikrama. So this is the power of hearing. If we hear enough, so that's why we are exposing ourselves. We want to hear more and more about Krishna. And the more we hear, the more we develop that attraction. That desire in the heart starts to grow. It's the same thing. How do you become a good preacher? By hearing. We cannot be a preacher and not hear. The more we hear, also the more we can. Shravanam Kirtanam, again. The more we hear, the more we are able to repeat. I remember in the beginning, when I was a very new devotee, I didn't know how to preach. The first time I ever preached to one guy, he turned out to be he was a Malaysian. He was visiting the temple on a Sunday feast. And I was preaching to him. I was preaching to him that you should surrender on the spot. I was so fired up. And he was like, almost on the corner, I was like, keep going. And then some older devotees come and they're trying to rescue this poor chap. I was so fired up, I didn't allow the older devotee to get any chance to speak. I just like, and I never see him again. That was the last time, first and last time I ever see him. And then, not long afterwards, I was preaching to one young couple, Finnish couple. I was preaching to them. I was talking about the four regulative principles. And he was sitting, and then he said, the bus is leaving, and he walked off. And again, I never see them again. Then I thought, wait a minute, maybe this is not the right way to preach. And I always have problem like what to say when I sit down with people on a Sunday feast with Prashant. What do I say? I don't know what to say. I might say, oh, how do you like the prasad? Nice. I didn't know what to say more. So then I decided this is not good. So what I did, whenever some senior preacher devotees were preaching, I would just sit there. I take my prasad quietly. I would sit there and listen. I listen to how they preach. And I never preached to a Sunday feast guest for 2 years or 3 years. All I did was just sit there and listen to how they preach and how they present Krishna consciousness, how they break the ice. And that's how gradually I learned how to preach and how to talk to people and like that. By hearing. We learn everything by hearing. Some people that sometimes they put so much emphasis on seeing. If there's a God, show me. I want to see. But we do not understand our inability to see. What can we see? All the things that we learn are from hearing. We go to school. We learn so many things by hearing. Who has been to America? Who has not been to America? Does America exist? I don't know. So right now maybe it exists in our mind. So, but how do you know there's a country called America? Because we heard. We accept so many things by hearing. But when it comes to spiritual knowledge, the most sublime knowledge, the most intricate knowledge, the most complex knowledge, we do not accept the process of hearing. It's amazing. In fact, if you want to understand this most complex and most elevated knowledge, we have to hear even more. How much more we have to hear? We have to hear it again and again and again and again until one day it enters our heart. Until one day it becomes internalized. This is not just theoretical knowledge that we are listening. It has to be internalized. It doesn't matter how many times we have heard, I'm not this body. We have to keep on hearing and hearing and hearing until one day we come to the realization, wow, it may take 20 years, it may take 30 years, it may take 50 years, or it may take a whole lifetime to really understand and to really realize, I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul, I'm eternal soul, Krishna. Wow! That's really far out. Now we hear it, no. He's giving all those basic class. So basic. Second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Dei Nosminyata Dedi. I want to hear something more elevated. I want to hear something more about the pastimes between Radha and Krishna. And that's what some of these lecturers do. The so-called sadhus, they only talk about this. But people are hasn't come beyond the level of, I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul. How are they going to understand and appreciate the Rasa Leela? When you hear all this, they will just think it's just another mundane affair between Krishna and the gopis. So we have, only when we actually come to get some purification, come to a transcendent platform, then we can fully appreciate the different leelas of Krishna. That's why when we reach Srimad Bhagavatam, we do not jump straight away to the 10th canto. We read first canto, second canto, gradually. Prabhupada said by the time you finish the 9th canto, you are self-realized. Then you can appreciate the 10th canto, the leelas of Krishna. So not that we have to jump. Everything has to be gradually. But everything begins and ends with hearing. Just hearing about Krishna. So when we hear, the ladies of Mathura have repeatedly heard about Krishna, and thus as soon as they saw him, their hearts melted. Hearts just melted. If we are not purified, even if Krishna appear before us, what are we going to do? what we're going to say, and what we're going to think, if we are not prepared. So by this constant hearing, this is how our Krishna consciousness will grow. The more we hear, the more we become purified, and the more the Krishna prema in the heart will grow more and more. It is not something any more complicated than that. Srila Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is very simple for the simple minded, and it's very complicated for the complicated minded. We can approach the process of Krishna consciousness in a very simple way. Hear, chant, Shravanam, Kirtanam. Hear and chant about Krishna. Remember Krishna. Serve Krishna. Worship Him. Offer Him prayers. Become a servant, order carrier. Become a friend. Surrendering everything. It's as simple as that. But because of our conditioning, we make everything so complicated. We say, yes, it sounds good, you just hear about Krishna, but. No but. But is for motorboat, you know? Motorboat, but. You know? It's no buts. It's that. That is it. The nine processes of devotional service. So, but when we add a but to it, then things get complicated. So much complication. And the more buts, the more complication. The ladies of Mathura, they have no buts. They just heard, and the natural attraction just developed. When they're here, finally, they heard so much about Krishna, and when Krishna, they hear Krishna is coming, wow, they just get so excited, they forget everything. They just rush. They just rush out and completely satisfy their eyes with the beautiful sight of Krishna. They embrace Krishna with their eyes. They will want to embrace Him, but because of social etiquette, they are not allowed to do that, but so they just embrace Him with their eyes. How much love and affection they have developed just by hearing. Just by hearing. They are not great sophisticated ladies. Simple ladies. But how much love they develop, how much attachment, attraction, how much eagerness is there just by hearing. So this is actually the everything that we do, like we were saying the other day, everything that we do has to culminate in this deep attraction to hear more and more about Krishna. We want to hear. Devaneta Maharaj was saying one time, a long time ago, he was saying actually, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes we read, we want to get more knowledge. We want to learn slokas, we want to learn so many things. For knowledge. But when the pure devotee, when they read Srimad Bhagavatam, they're just relishing it. They're just relishing Krishna's pastimes. Or the pastime is different incarnation. And just relishable. They just enjoy reading it. It's not just for knowledge or for education or anything like that. In fact, even Prabhupada, when he reads his own book, he relishes so much. I think it was when he first received the fifth canto, part one or something. He immediately took the book and he read. He just read from beginning to end with so much relish. And this is, the pastime of Krishna is very relishable. So as Adi Purusha was saying yesterday, he just, when he's reading all this pastime, he just like, peak like a trailer. That's how people they're moving. That they attract people to come and see the movies by showing all these trailers. They're putting all these trailers before the movie, and people go and see this trailer and they say, "Wow, I got to go and watch this movie." So in this, they keep watching and watching, and the more trailers come out, they keep watching and watching. So all these different leelas are like trailers. Just give up when you hear this trailer, you say, "Wow, I want to take part in it. I want to hear more. I want to hear more." That was the direction of Maharaj Parikshit. He was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Tell me more. I want to hear more. Tell me. What about this? When this happened, okay, what happened next? Keep telling me more. In this way, 7 days went on without eating, without sleeping, without drinking, just hearing Bhagavatam. So much attraction was there just by hearing. So, thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Yes, bro.
How can we improve our hearing? How can we hear better?
Just hear.
Well, I mean, we all hear, but I mean, how can we be more aware of the more delicate aspects of sound?
That will come gradually as you become purified, as the gross contamination of the heart, more ignorance, more passion become decreased, gradually decreasing. Because by nature, the spirit soul is pure. By nature, we are Krishna Prema is there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satcha Kabanoi. By nature, we are Krishna conscious. Shravana di Sudhi Chitti Kora Yudai. But by the process of hearing, that natural Krishna consciousness develop more and more and more and more. So we just have to hear. The more we expose to the hearing, it's just like if we're dirty, how do we get clean? Keep scrubbing. It's just that sometimes we have this on what they call these hues that develop, a crack. How do you get it out of it? You have to keep scrubbing. And you know what they want is. And keep scrubbing, finally it gets way off, you know, and it becomes smooth. And just keep working on it. No shortcut. There is shortcut. Kripa Siddhi. But don't count on it. So we pray and hope for Kripa Siddhi, but we perform our regular devotional service, sadhana, as nicely as we can. And we'll get there. I'm approved.
Just an answer to the gentleman. You ever heard of movies, series, and lectures? You can hear Prabhupada for 24 hours.
Yeah.
And we have heard Krishna conscious movies also. We used to have in the theater.
Yep.
Sunday. Very nice movies. I think they will bring them again. So, that will be.
Especially in the old days when they make. I remember the first time I saw this. Nimai. It's an old Bengali movie. It's so beautifully done. The actors are. It's so much devotion. When I saw that movie, I just thought, Krishna consciousness is actually so simple. This is it. It's just so simple. Chant, like Prabhupada said, just chant, dance, and feast, and in between you do some service.
My comment was regarding Prabhupada's preaching, like George Harrison. When he preached George Harrison, he said, I want to see you.
I want to see you.
Gave a song.
Ah, yeah.
He gave the whole manor, the Vietnam manor, millions of dollars.
Yeah.
That is the love of how.
And Prabhupada himself, one time was a. He had a rare opportunity to meet Sri Bhakti Siddhanta in Navadvip. Was it Navadvip or Vrindavan? Vrindavan. They were going on the parikrama. And it was the last day. I was going to leave the next day. And some sannyasi has arranged for them to see this deity, Vishnu deity. So Prabhupada thought, deity I can see anytime. But there let me hear my spiritual master speak. And Prabhupada was saying that Sri Bhakti Siddhanta was speaking very technical. Well, it was a very technical lecture. And Prabhupada, he just sat there and listened. There were just a few senior devotees. He was just sitting there and listened. So later on in Allahabad, the temple president recommended him for initiation. And in his recommendation, he was telling, oh, his Abhay Babu, he support our temple, he play nice madanga, big supporter of our temple. But Sri Bhakti Siddhanta, yes, knows him. He likes to hear. That was the main quality Sri Bhakti Siddhanta said. He likes to hear. I will initiate him.
And one more thing, Krishna book is so wonderful. If you read Krishna book,
yeah.
You learn so many things, exact feelings of Prabhupada.
Yeah.
The other day I was thinking, how in Vrindavan people came to Kurukshetra, and how the when the gopis met Krishna, they just put Krishna in through their eyes and the heart. And what Prabhu mentioned was how they appreciate Krishna's beauty. That's how we can learn more Krishna. Prabhupada's book, you know, you don't have to go any further.
Everything is there in Prabhupada's books. Any other comments?